Our gospel lesson this morning is one that is familiar probably to many of us, but I hope you will listen closely and take encouragement from it, as I do, as it illustrates God's power to restore life to each of us and even to Christ's body, the church. Listen now for this account of this historical event as contained and reported to us by John in chapter 11, verses 1 through 27. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We want to continue with the reading of the story that we started. And it goes like this. When she, referring to Martha, had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave in a stone lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews thereafter who had come with Jesus and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. The word of the Lord. In the Gospel of John, we're told of 7 signs to show that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. 7 signs so that you might believe. The first sign that was told in the gospel is when Jesus turned water into wine. Wine was considered a symbol of the abundant life. And in Jesus' doing this, he was saying that I've come that you might have life. The second sign was when Jesus healed a man's son. The man had traveled 20 miles to come to Jesus to ask him to heal his son. And Jesus healed him right then. He didn't have to travel there. Jesus is the Lord over distance. The third miracle was Jesus healing a man who had been crippled for 38 years, lying at the pool of Bethesda where there was always the hope that a miracle might occur. And this man was there every day, but had long given up hope of ever being healed. And Jesus healed him, giving hope to those who are hopeless. Then Jesus fed the 5,000. This is comparable with Moses providing manna in the desert for the children of Israel. And then Jesus walked on water, the overcoming nature, the Lord over nature. And then last week we looked at Jesus healing the man who had been born blind, showing that Jesus was greater than all the prophets who had come before him, for none of them had ever healed someone who had been born blind. And you might recall when we looked at that story, the disciples had asked who had sinned, whether this man's parents had sinned or somehow he had sinned before he'd been born, that he was born blind. And Jesus said neither of them had sinned, but this was to be done to show the works of God, give glory to God. And that's what we have also in the 7th sign, where Jesus is the Lord over even death, the great and final enemy, where he raises Lazarus from the dead. And as we read just a moment ago, where it said that Jesus said this was to glorify God and to bring glory to the Son of Man. 7 signs that we might believe, with the one we're looking at today being the greatest of the 7. But we see in our story that Jesus delayed going to Lazarus. The idea was, when the message was sent, the idea was that he would come and heal him. But Jesus delayed. And then when he finally goes, he knows that Lazarus is dead. Martha greets him before he gets into the village and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Unfortunately, we can't read into the text what the emotion was. Was it a statement of fact? "Oh, Jesus, if you'd been here, you would have been able to heal him." Or was it an accusation? "If Jesus, if you'd only gotten here earlier, he wouldn't have died." We don't know. But Jesus says he will rise again. And Martha says, "I know, on the last days, on the day of resurrection, he will be raised again." And then Jesus gives those wonderful words of hope. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." These are words we use at funerals and memorial services to remind us of our hope. And he asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "I believe. I know that you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And then she goes and gets her sister Mary, brings her. She brings the same statement to Jesus: if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she is weeping, and the crowd that had followed her was weeping, and Jesus was deeply moved. And we're told that Jesus wept. So what brought about these tears of Jesus? Some people want to say, before I say that one, why would he weep over Lazarus if he knew he would be raising Lazarus up out of the grave? It couldn't be he's weeping because out of grief for over the death. Some want to say that he was weeping to show his human side. But I'm not sure that that's the case, because this whole sign, the whole seven signs, were that we might believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And it is to be pointing toward his divine nature. So why would it be interjected that he wept to show his human side? In fact, the gospel was written with a Greek audience in mind. And the Greeks did not believe that a God could show emotion. For if you show emotion, that means that someone can influence you or have power over your life. If they can make you happy or sad, they at that moment have control over you. And no one can control God. Therefore, God cannot have emotions. And so they would have been shocked to hear Jesus, the Son of God, was weeping. Another thought might be, Jesus wasn't weeping because Lazarus had died, but he was weeping because he was about to bring him back to life. People who've had near-death experiences will often come back and say they saw this light. Some would say they saw relatives or friends who had gone on before them there to greet them. Most of them say that there was just real peace and calmness there. And if this is the case, if this is what life is like as we move to the other side, where there's peace and calm and joy, and Jesus is about to bring him back to this life where there's so much hardship, trouble, and sorrow, perhaps those are the causes of his tears. Whatever the cause, I believe it centered around Jesus' compassion for people. We're told in Luke 9 that Jesus wept right before he went into Jerusalem that final week. That he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. And he prayed for them. He knew that he was going in, that he would be crucified. And he prayed for the city, that they might know and repent from what they are about to do, for they would be setting in motion what would happen almost 40 years later when Jerusalem would be destroyed. Tears of compassion. That's what I believe these tears were. So Jesus moves on and goes to the tomb and he tells them to roll away the stone, and the people are, no, it's going to stink. You don't want to do that. And he tells them to do it anyway, and I suspect they hold their nose while they move it off. And then Lazarus, come out! And I would have loved to have been there to look at people's expressions, this anticipation. Some believing nothing's going to come out of there. Some saying, what might come out of there? And it had to be this moment of nothing, because Lazarus was all wrapped up in linens like a mummy. He didn't have a whole lot of free movement. And I wonder how he even got out. Was he kind of walking like Tim Conway and the things skits he used to do as an old man? Or was he kind of hopping to get out? But all of a sudden, there he is. In front of the tomb, the door of the tomb, and everybody, I'm sure, gasped. Here's Jesus, or here's Lazarus. He's alive. And Jesus says, unbind him, set him free. And I think that's the call to the church, that we are to unbind and set people free when Jesus gives them new life. Robert Brown was a chaplain, Navy chaplain, and he was aboard a transport ship that had 1,500 Marines returning from Japan. And he was leading a Bible study on John, and he got to this particular chapter with the raising up of Lazarus. And he had one of the men come up to him after the Bible study, and he told him this story. He said, I enrolled in the Marines after I graduated from college, and I was shipped over here to Japan, and I was bored with life, and I did something terrible, something awful. And I feel so guilty. I can't get over that I did something like that. I don't know if I can face my parents ever again, even though they will never know what I did. And then I come to the study, and you talk about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I was dead, and now I have come back to life. We don't have to physically die to be dead. And sometimes Jesus calls out to people, rise up, come back to life. And we as a church need to be there to unwrap the bounds, to set them free. Jesus had compassion for the people. He wept while they wept. We too are to have compassion for people, to set them free. That is what we do when we say we want to live in love like Christ. Let's pray. Lord, do help us to follow the example of Jesus, to show compassion for people. And when he sets people free, when he gives them new life, let us be there to help unbind them from the sins that have so easily entrapped them. Help us to set people free who were once lost but now found. Help us to be the church that offers hope to those who have lost hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.